every other month, I guess, and have been doing this for 15 years.
Is this recreation or what?
Something that they do, I guess. But, there's nothing really to worry about, I think, in this situation. I think we should still keep our eyes on the skies, considering what's happened over the course of the past 2 weeks.
Well, and this is what really troubles me. And again, let's go to cut five. Gordon Chang is an expert on China, all things China and the military. And the problem is, in my view, that the government's not leveling with us. Biden ought to be coming to the Oval Office and do a primetime address. Should be. This was Gordon Chang last night with Tucker Carlson, President Biden needs to talk to the American people, and he needs to do it sooner rather than later.
So the Biden administration has shot down, by our count, there may be others, but we know of four objects shot down over this country in the past 8 or 9 days. One of them we know for sure was from China, and it had some kind of surveillance equipment. Today, White House flack John Kirby didn't seem worried about it, however. Why?
Yeah. See, that's the problem we have. Scott Hammond joining us, as he does every week, state senator from District 18. And let me just ask you, as far as what is going to happen between now and, say, May, will we actually be getting bills passed and sent to the governor for either his signature or a veto?
Absolutely. That absolutely happens all the time, all the way through May. Some of the big bills, and when the leadership of both parties and both houses start to arrive, start to talk a little bit more often, we'll have an idea of what the end game is going to be and what bills are going to be important for the end game. How do we wrap this all up? How do we make everybody happy? And what does that entail? And then those bills will kind of wait until the end. You know, nobody wants to pass anything. It's like playing a game of chicken, right? You just, who's going to blink first, or, you know, do we blink at the same time and then we get everything passed and then we wrap up the session? That's what's going to happen. But I'm going to go back. I was listening to you and Jim talk a little bit about what was going on in Alaska. And, you know, as somebody who grew up there, we got used to A-10s. We actually had the A-10s that would fly around. Those are the ones that would monitor the border between us and the former Soviet Union at the time. And they were always seeing it in international waters, those kinds of incidences. So this is definitely nothing new, although given the context of all the other things that are happening right now in the world, you can't help but wonder if they're testing a little bit, just like, you know, almost like a teenager kind of tests you a little bit, or as a kid tests the parent a little bit, kind of find out what they can get away with.
I'm curious, should the president be talking to us? I mean, how much should we know? How much of this should be a secret?
Yeah, well, it's a balancing act, right? Because as an executive, you don't want to tell everybody everything, because you do want to have some ability to talk to leaders across the world. I mean, you got to be able to talk to the leader of Russia, and you got to do it in such a way where, you know, not everybody's privy to what was going on, because you don't want to paint anybody in a corner, because you want to be able to leverage whatever you know against whatever they're trying to do. I mean, you can't tell the American public everything. But at this point, where there's so many instances like this that are occurring, I think you do have to address the concerns that Americans are having. You don't have to disclose everything right now, because you were in negotiations, but I definitely would have a talk with everybody, let everybody know what's going on. Maybe a little fireside chat kind of thing, but definitely talk a little bit about what's going on.
I got to ask you, because you're an eyewitness, Stavros Anthony, in his first term as lieutenant governor, that means he presides over the body that you sit in, the state Senate. And I'm just curious, we had a chance to talk to him earlier in the show and didn't know this, but he became governor for a number of hours while the governor was in Phoenix for the Super Bowl. Did you know that?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So he was in my office, and we were talking about it a little bit. Anytime that the governor is absent from the state, the lieutenant governor takes over. And if the lieutenant governor is gone, do you know who then takes over at that point?
Is it you?
No, absolutely not. I don't have that kind of power yet. President Pro Tem of the Senate. That would be Patricia Spearman.
Wow. I did not know that. In our final couple of minutes, tell me what's how Stavros is doing. I mean, you see him there presiding and wielding the gavel. How's he doing? Does he look like he belongs?
Oh, he definitely looks like he belongs. He knows what he's doing. He's getting warmed up in his position. I mean, that's only one part of his job is to preside over the Senate, and he leads us on the floor sessions every day when we have him when he's in the state. A lot of his job is not that. It's really the tourism that he does. He has several boards and commissions he's in charge of, the most important being the one on tourism, which yesterday was Tourism Day in the state, in the legislative building. And we were able to go around the building. They had different representatives from different organizations that were present here on the floors of the Capitol building and of the legislative building, talking about, well, what we do here and how we bring people into our state to see our wonderful wildlife and various things that we do in Las Vegas and whatnot. It was really a good day. That's what Stavros is really good at. I mean, he's been around that issue for many, many years, especially in his capacity and the city council. So I think he's definitely in his element. He knows what he's doing. He fits in up here. He's a wonderful addition, and I'm glad he is up here, to be honest with you. It's good to know that he's there in case something happens to the governor or when the governor's gone. And in this case, it was a good thing. The governor was down in Phoenix. He was at the Super Bowl, and I believe that they hand the ball over to him.
Yeah, really cool.
The next Super Bowl site, the next state that's going to have the Super Bowl, he got the ball. It's a wonderful thing. Great economic engine for the state. A great economic opportunity. There's going to be lots of people here and lots of money coming into the state.
I think that's wonderful. If folks want to reach out to you, if folks in Nevada 18 want to communicate with you, if somebody from that's not in 18 wants your help or your expertise or your opinion, how can they reach you?
I'll give you two ways. They can reach me at my website at Hammond4NevadaNevada.com, Hammond4NevadaNevada.com, or they can call me up on my cell phone. They can text me up. Actually, the texting is really good. I respond quickly to that. 702-523-9055. That's how you get hold of me.
Have a great rest of your day, and let's get some bills passed. Let's get some bills passed.
Always great talk with you, Kevin.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Scott Hammond, State Senator, District 18, joining us right here on AM 670 KMZQ.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Right now, get a basic oil change for only $29.95. Meineke, doing car care right.
Coming up on 232 as we check out your current conditions right now on the roadways. The traffic cam see a little congestion as you enter the downtown Spaghetti Bowl on Interstate 15 northbound. Other than that, I mean, only moderate flows there on the 15. Ditto with US 95 southbound at Southern Rancho. Kind of light flows right now. Maybe the weather is playing a part. Those lane restrictions continue on Interstate 15 southbound. That's between Flamingo and Tropicana, so caution through there. And watch for some crashes right now. Westbound Tropicana at Cameron, westbound Charleston at Tenaya, and westbound Twain, that's at Polaris.
From the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, I'm Bob Stitch with this KMZQ Sports Flash. This update brought to you by My Auto Service. UNLV basketball's home tonight against San Jose State. The running Rebels, 16-9 overall, 5-8 in the Mountain West. 6-6, San Jose State just ahead of them. Nevada basketball's won four straight. They're 20-6 overall, 10-3 in the Mountain West. Second behind 11-2, San Diego State. The Wolfpack off until Saturday when they visit Utah State. The Vegas Golden Knights have a three-game winning streak. They returned from the All-Star break with wins at Nashville, Minnesota, and at home over the Ducks. Sunday, it was a 7-2 victory over Anaheim. The Knights are off until Thursday when they host San Jose. Vegas on top of the Pacific Division by a point over second-place Los Angeles. The NHL trade deadline is approaching, set for Friday, March the 3rd. Vegas is reportedly interested in acquiring Patrick Kane from the Blackhawks. This update brought to you by My Auto Service. I'm Bob Stitch from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip with your KMZQ Sports Flash.
At Staples, you can count on every project being print perfect, guaranteed.
I need presentations and brochures printed, and they have to be perfect.
Your bounded presentations, brochures with the finest folds, and more will be done right every time. That's our print big promise. Now at Staples, get $10 off your document printing and marketing materials order of $50 or more, plus 20% back via store bonus. Try Staples and see the difference. Ends 2/25. Rewards members only. Bonus must be redeemed in store. See staples.com/stores/printbig for details.
I always wanted to learn Spanish, but I never thought I'd have the time. Then I discovered Babbel.
Babbel's lessons are fun. They only take like 10 or 15 minutes, and in 3 weeks, presto, you're starting to speak another language, like magic.
I love that Babbel's lessons aren't just robots talking. They're voiced by native speakers, so you get the pronunciation just right.
If you want to learn a language, there's no faster, easier, better way than
Babbel.
Babbel.
Babbel. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the piano bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
This is Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
If you have not checked out the NevadaGlobe.com, you need to check it out. It changes every day, sometimes multiple times a day. New stories, opinion pieces, a lot of really great stuff. And Megan Barth is the editor-in-chief. And I talked to her earlier in the show saying that you've been covering the state legislature. This is week number 2. What's the difference this week than maybe week 1?
Not too much difference, except there's a lot of bills that are in committee, a lot of committee hearings, less pomp and circumstance. And Valentine's week, the Republicans have capitalized on this sweet treat week in order to bolster their support as well as their rallies for school choice. And they were on the lawn of the Capitol yesterday in a sizable rally with Lieutenant Governor Stavros Anthony, Power to Parent activists, NPRI, National Policy Research or Nevada Policy Research Institute, and students and parents all lobbying for choice, which is normally something the Democrats are all about, choice, unless, of course, it comes to your personal health care or if it comes to your personal beliefs.
Let me ask you, I've talked to a couple of members just over the last couple of days, and one of the things they say is that the atmosphere is different somehow. You've been around this thing before. Tell me what's different now that we've got a Republican governor and he's got a veto pen just aching to get going. Is there something different? Is there a different attitude among the Democrats that maybe some of them will at least be at least willing to talk?
I think that there's some bills, yes, that we can look at bipartisanship opportunities. And one bill in particular is co-authored or sponsored by Nicole Cannizzaro, and she teamed up with Heidi Sievert-Gansert, a Republican from the North here, on an anti-sex trafficking bill. We already have sex trafficking specifically of children on the books in Nevada, and what they're looking to do is strengthen those laws and penalties should a trafficker be uncovered through undercover operations. So that's, one area of bipartisanship that, we're hearing about and seeing. But where there will be absolutely zero bipartisanship is in election integrity, which the governor has made a plank of his, not only his campaign platform, but also his State of the Union or State of the State address.
Did I read this right in the NevadaGlobe.com that polling shows that 74% of Nevada voters favor, they support voter ID? I mean, that's a landslide.
Right. And you know, and it's also composed of a majority of Democrats, over, I think it was 62% within that poll that was conducted by Ohio Insights on behalf of the Nevada Independent. So you have a majority of Democrats, a majority of independents, and a majority of Republicans who all support some form of voter ID when you cast a ballot. And I talked to David Gibbs, and I don't know if you've talked to him or not, but he spearheaded the effort to get voter ID as well as eliminate mail-in ballots through a ballot referendum. And when he submitted that referendum and started collecting signatures, he, of course, was immediately sued by Mark Elias's law firm. And Mark Elias is basically the fixer for Hillary Clinton, as well as the fixer of elections for the Democratic Party. And within that lawsuit, which the Globe covered extensively, it was noted that he had chosen two plaintiffs. Mark Elias's law firm chose two plaintiffs who are both Democratic activists. And they both claimed that voter ID somehow suppresses the indigent minority vote, who's also spreading that disinformation and that debunked talking point is Cisco Aguilar, our Democratic Secretary of State. There are eight states on the books that have strict, only eight, unfortunately, that have strict voter ID laws. And actually, it's increased voter participation because it's likely increased the confidence of voters in their elections. What's causing the suppression of votes, specifically Republican votes, is all of the chicanery that has been embedded into Nevada law around elections. You know, ballots can be counted 4 days after they're received. Ballots only have to be postmarked by election day and picked up on election day and extended election times and mailed ballots to every single registered voter, which sometimes ends up going to a voter that no longer resides in Nevada. And so, you know, there's all of these questions around election integrity, which cause voter suppression. One thing that eliminates voter suppression is voter ID. It's been proven time and time again. And a Democratic state like Wisconsin actually has stricter integrity laws than Nevada. And what they did, what the Wisconsin legislators did, was ensure that state money was used to provide IDs for those voters who did not have IDs. Now, with the record amount of revenues coming into our state, and by doing so, by the way, by doing so, Wisconsin then avoided the ridiculous lawsuits, you know, filed by the ACLU and the Women League of Voters and all of those that protect faulty elections in the name of democracy. They were able to then avoid those lawsuits because they got around their pointless objection and claim that voter ID somehow suppresses the minority vote. So Wisconsin used their state revenues or a portion thereof to provide IDs to those that needed it. With our record revenues that are coming into this state, specifically through gambling, we have billions of dollars in the rainy day fund. We have billions of dollars to give to a failing education system. We should have a tenth of that or 1% of that to provide IDs to those in the state who simply can't manage to get an ID, don't have an ID, or whatever the case may be.
So essentially, Megan, that argument, the argument that, well, people can't afford the ID, it just doesn't wash.
It doesn't wash. Wisconsin completely eliminated that objection from their continued canard, the canard by which, you know, voter ID suppresses the minority vote. So Wisconsin, the legislators in Wisconsin basically said, okay, well, we're going to put aside, you know, $1 million or whatever it was, and we'll use this money to provide IDs to those who do not have them. Now, I'd be hard-pressed to find, I don't know, maybe 10,000 Nevadans that don't have an ID, I mean, that are legal in Nevada that don't have an ID, because you need an ID for every single thing that you do every day. You need them to vote in union elections. You need them to vote in state party elections, meaning that Democrats require ID of their Democratic members to vote for Democrats in their central committee. So no. Are Democrats suppressing the votes of Democrats by requiring ID of their union members? By requiring ID, many union members who aren't legal, by the way, who require ID of their Democrat state committeemen.
So tell me,
as Republicans, or at least as the leadership in the Republican Party who may be listening, it's time to play offense.
I like that idea. By the way, we were talking yesterday with Scott Pressler. And his new organization called Early Vote Action. They had an event at the Ahern Hotel that I understand from a couple of people that were there. They had originally expected, you know, 50 people, maybe 60 people, but there it was packed. And leaders from all kinds of different groups around the area talking about ballot harvesting and essentially doing what I've been talking about since 2020. That essentially what we need to do, rather than bitch about the ballot harvesting, it was a felony just a couple of years ago. Well, instead of bitching about that, let's find a better way to do ballot harvesting. I mean, we got some great minds in the Republican Party, some great minds, and that if we have to spend money, then we spend money. But they had an event at the Ahern Hotel last night at 6 o'clock that was, from all reports, really, really good. And people learned a lot from it. Stay where you are. More to do as we continue on AM 670 KMZQ.
When the whole world seems to be in a state of confusion, Andy Vieira and Mark Thomas help you sort it out. Join the club weekday morning 6 to 9 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Union Strong means bringing jobs into our valley. Union Strong means opportunities for personal growth. Union Strong is fellowship, taking care of one another on and off the job site. Our union has been working hard for the interests of working men and women for decades and will always be there for the communities we serve. Laborers Union Local 872, celebrating 85 Launa proud years of justice, honor, and strength.
Over 50,000 police officers are assaulted on the job each year, leading to injuries and death. This is the reality they deal with when making contact with the public. Another reality is that if someone doesn't comply with a lawful order or uses force against them, police may have to use sufficient force in response to obtain compliance. Use of force is always ugly. Nobody likes it, especially police, and nobody knows how it will turn out. Spread the word. For de-escalation to work, both parties must de-escalate. And de-escalation isn't necessary if there is no escalation. Help police by not escalating. Don't attack or try to disarm an officer, whether it's getting asked a question, getting a citation, or getting arrested. Don't argue. Don't resist. Don't flee. After the encounter has been resolved is the time to address any complaints. Comply now, complain later. Keep everybody safe. This message brought to you by the National Police Association. To learn more about how to help law enforcement accomplish its goals, visit nationalpolice.org.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you. thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
This is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces, just by giving her a bear hug. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Reduced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Now, weekdays from noon to 3 on AM 670 KMCQ. Talk radio done right.
To all of my female friends out there, happy Valentine's Day. I mean, it's a special day, and I know a lot of guys that they do their level best, and they still fail. Either something they send in the mail doesn't get there until Thursday. But, hey, happy Valentine's Day to one and all, to all my female friends out there. You're wonderful. Kevin McCarthy had this odd reaction to a briefing he got relative to space garbage, that essentially we were shooting down space garbage and that these things are not a threat. This was Kevin McCarthy and his reaction to space garbage and the takedowns that our military have done just in the last, 8 or 10 days.
I've been briefed a couple times. I've got the classified briefing when it comes to the Chinese balloon, and then I've been briefed on these as well.
Can you brief prime time on the new ones? They're calling them space trash.
Well, I don't know, but everybody please hold on to your Valentine's Day balloon because otherwise we're going to have big problems come tomorrow. But not sure what these are yet because they haven't been able to recover it. And to be fair, in Alaska, it's minus 45 and snowing, going to take a little time. But what happened after that Chinese balloon, and this has been true for President Biden his entire life. Every foreign policy or every military decision he's made is always too late. And you watched, he allowed a Chinese balloon that there was no question what it was. There was no question that you had to put a plane up there to see it. You had a bus flying over, collecting all of our data. You know, the Chinese aren't bringing this balloon back down, so they're probably sending the data back home. He let it go all the way over America before he decided. Now, these other ones, they know they're much smaller, not quite sure what they are, but they took them all down. I think we should have taken that Chinese balloon down before it ever entered, so nobody else would ever get the idea they could enter our sovereign land. Look, they're coming across our border. They're coming across our skies. I'm worried about what's happening if you watch even the beaches coming in the boats as well.
So they said they were spying on the first Chinese balloon. That's why they let it traverse the entire country. So why can't we spy on these new balloons or whatever they are, assess them, find out what they are, and then take them down? It just seems like we're just squeezing the trigger at anything that moves up there.
Well, now they recalibrated. Now they realize that there's other things coming. But you're right. There are universities that send this up. You could probably buy a balloon on Amazon for a couple hundred bucks, send something up. But there's a difference between a big balloon that's going from 40,000 to 80,000 feet that have like three busloads on there, the collecting all of our data, and hovering over our military bases. That's a fundamental difference. But if you're like that, though, this administration allows you to go from base to base to base till you get